We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Thank you. Ian first brought me this story, sent this story to me because he's from the area, and then Ramon Antonio Vargas picked up on it and wrote a story about it. We talked to Scott Payton, who is a former deacon with the Diocese of Lafayette, and the story that I'm about to tell you is just, well, he's about to tell you, is just crazy. It just seems like, again, and look, I always say whenever I talk about these things, I am a guy that was a cradle Catholic, but until they do the right thing, the church does the right thing, I'm done as a Catholic. And I say the rosary every day. The church can do what they want with me. I don't really care. It would be analogous to 86ing me from a casino because I'm not going anyway, so it doesn't matter. Until they finally clean up this abuse scandal. And just when you think they have it cleaned up, or at least they're making inroads, something else happens to make you think, nope. Same old stuff. And with that, we welcome in Scott Payton. Good morning, Scott. How are you?
I am doing great, Tommy. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for taking the time. First of all, how's your son?
My son has good days and bad days, but he is on the road to healing. So things like this set it back, but he is on the right direction.
How old is he, Scott?
He is 24 years old.
And how old was he when this happened?
He was 16.
So this is about 8 years ago. Tell people, if you will, that aren't familiar with the story. You were a deacon in a church, and what happened with your son? And just lay it out for us, please, if you would.
Sure. As a matter of fact, I'm a convert, or was a convert to Catholicism. I joined the Catholic Church in 2001, ironically, to bring unity to my family. And after a few years of being Catholic, I felt a calling to do more for the church. I entered into the diaconate program, and matter of fact, with the guidance and direction of Father Mike Guidry, who would ultimately abuse my son. But I was ordained a deacon in 2012. I was serving at St. Peter's Catholic Church in Morrow, Louisiana, which is rural North St. Landry Parish, and served with Father Michael Guidry, knew him for over 10 years. I left that parish for another assignment, and then one night, about midnight, my oldest son called me, and he said, "Dad, you need to come outside." And so I came outside, and I saw my second oldest son. I have six children, with his head in his lap crying, and, you know, he told me, you know, Father Michael Guidry had abused him, had molested him, got him drunk. When he woke up, he was being molested, you know, by Father Michael Guidry in the rectory at the church. My son he was 16 at the time, would help do work around the church and cut grass and clean up and do those type of things. So, and this had happened like 3 years, so he waited 3 years to let us know. I was a probation and parole officer at that time, law enforcement. I told him as soon as the sun comes up, we're going to the sheriff's department and you know, we're going to make a report. We did that, and eventually the priest confessed to molesting our son, and that's when the real battle took off. You know, we have been through trying to get him, you know, get my son the justice he deserves, by navigating the criminal justice system, Guidry was eventually convicted of molestation of a juvenile. He was sentenced to 10 years, and the judge suspended three of those. So in essence, he was sentenced to 7 years in prison. He is still in prison today and gets out, I think, either in 25 or 26. And then we battled the diocese in accepting responsibility for Guidry's actions. We had a long, drawn-out civil suit that basically drug our family, drug our son through the mud. It's an ugly side of the church when it comes to them protecting the institution. But during that time, Tommy, I battled. We stayed Catholic. I continued to be a deacon. But it eventually came to a point, as you mentioned early on, begin to wonder, why am I still here? This is an institution, an organization that is doing nothing to help victims. They're not learning from what has happened in the past. I watched the Diocese of Lafayette spend money, time, and effort to fight this look-back law. They battled that at the Supreme Court in New Orleans. Instead of doing the right thing and helping victims, they would rather fight anything that's forcing them to do the right thing. And it was at that time in December that I decided I can no longer be a part of an institution that, one, doesn't live up to the ideals that Christ established the church on earth. And I have no doubt that if Christ were here today, he would not approve of the way that the Catholic Church is handling the sex abuse and the way that they treat victims.
I don't even know where to start, Scott, other than to tell you how sorry I am that this happened to your son. I know a couple of things come to mind, the first of which is that you are a law enforcement officer, and the first thing you did was to contact the police, right? Which in these cases, it's pretty simple. When there's a case of a young man or a juvenile being molested, you go to the police. It's that simple. But yet, for the church, it's not that simple.
It's not, you know, and being law enforcement, matter of fact, I had training in sex abuse, had training in how to pick out, you know, pedophiles and perpetrators. And when I went to the sheriff's department, when my son and I went, I told the detectives, I said, I'm going to let the diocese know today. And they're like, no, we will handle this from here. We will let them know when the time is right. You know, let us do this. And so we had great advice from the sheriff's department. Guidry went in twice. The first time when they interviewed him, he admitted to just about everything but what would constitute a criminal act. Then he returned with an attorney and then, you know, gave his full confession then. But since that time, you know, the civil suit's a lot different. He and his attorneys and the diocesan attorneys blamed our family and blamed our son, you know, for the abuse that occurred. So, and, you know, just last week I received a letter because I sent a letter to the bishop resigning from both the diaconate and telling him I was leaving the Catholic Church. And I gave him my reasons. And, you know, it's not that I don't believe in God. It's that I don't believe that the church is living up to the values it professes. And, you know, he sent me a nice email within 24 hours saying that he was sad about my decision to leave and that he was going to pray for me and that sacramentally I was always a deacon. And then 3 months later, I opened my mail and I have a decree from the bishop issuing me the harshest penalty that the church can issue to an individual with a decree of excommunication. And I mean, when you leave the church on your own free will and stop going or go to another faith, in essence, you automatically excommunicate yourself. But the bishop, by doing that as a decree, has made it official. He's gone one step further, whether it's out of vindictiveness or being malicious. I don't know because he won't comment on his intention with this excommunication, but it is definitely salt in our wounds. It's, you know, sends a horrible message to my son because one of the reasons our son waited 3 years to tell us because I was a deacon, and he didn't want to destroy that vocation that I had. And, you know, I'm first and foremost a father. I'm a daddy to my children, and my duty is to protect my family. And, you know, I believe in a loving God, and I just don't believe God's going to condemn me for walking away from the Catholic Church. But in essence, the bishop has condemned me to hell with this decree because Catholics believe if you die in a state of mortal sin, which means you haven't been to confession, you've missed Mass, which is a mortal sin, when you die, you go to hell.
Well, I think that's a great quote when you said that it's a fancy way of the bishop telling you to go to hell, and he literally did do that, right?
Oh, he has sealed my fate.
Well, in his own mind, he has.
In his own mind, absolutely.
Maybe not in his own mind. I don't know. It just seems extremely petty and childish. It seems like the old sitcom bit, you can't quit, I fire you. And that's basically what he did?
That is basically what it is. Because one of the paragraphs says that they would laicize me or send me up to be laicized, which I expected that fully. When I resigned from being a deacon, that is not petty. He didn't have to do either. He didn't have to do anything that's in this letter, first and foremost. But it is a 180 from his email, because in his email, he tells me sacramentally, you are a deacon, though you choose not to exercise your ministry. But then 3 months later, he bans me from receiving the sacraments. And you know, I have a 20-year-old daughter that still lives with us, and while she's not listed in this decree, she's like, what if I want to marry a Catholic man? Would I be able to have a Catholic wedding? Obviously, she can, but those are the impact it has on our family, our son, obviously, who's the victim in this. This was his fear. While I chose it in December, the bishop definitely did not have to decree this and pour salt in our wounds.
I should say right now we invited the bishop on. They declined to come on. No surprise there. The other thing, Scott, that leapt out at me from what you said was that it seems as though, and you know this from law enforcement, when it comes to pedophiles, a lot of times it could be friends of the family that groom the child, or it could be a member of the clergy that groom the child, and in this case, it was both. You have to feel as though this was a friend that betrayed you and hurt your son in almost the worst way possible.
Yeah, Tommy, I, of all people, had been through class after class, whether it was the police academy, whether it was other trainings that I had, but Father Michael Guidry groomed our entire family, and he was patient. We knew him for 10 years. It was the sixth or seventh year of him knowing us that he did this to our son. I just think it's so bold, and he was 70-something years old. There's no record of no other reports that this happened to anyone else, but I just simply don't believe my son's the only victim of Father Michael Guidry. He was so bold to one, molest the son of his deacon, molest the son of a law enforcement officer. I honestly believe he did not think he would ever get caught or that our son would ever report this to us or to law enforcement. It's a bold move. But if you look at the history, there's 33 priests on the Diocese of Lafayette's list of credibly accused priests that have molested children. Gilbert Gothe, which was ground zero for clergy sex abuse, he went to prison. Guidry is the only other priest in the history of the Diocese of Lafayette that goes to prison for molesting or abusing a child. So two out of 33 make it to prison for doing this, and that's why it's so important for victims and for healing that this look-back window, that the church does the moral, what is morally right to take care of those that were harmed while trusting them and being under their care.
And not only that, but not punish those that come forward, which is what happened to you. We can take a break. We'll pick it up when we come back. We're talking to Scott Payton, former deacon, who was excommunicated after coming forward and pressing charges against the priest who molested his son, who admitted to molested his son. And have any other victims come forward, Scott, of this Father Guidry?
No one else has come forward, which I still believe, you know.
Well, you know from law enforcement, it's rare that the pedophile would have only one victim.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. We'll pick it up. We come back. Talking to Scott Payton, former deacon. 923, Tommy Tucker, back in a flash, WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Pardon me, talking to Scott Payton, former deacon of the Catholic Church, whose son was molested by Father Guidry, a priest that is now in prison, that admitted his actions, that was a friend of the family. Scott was a deacon in the church that served alongside of this Father Guidry, and I put the father in quotation marks. Scott, you've been excommunicated, but Father Guidry, I take it, is still a member in good standing of the Catholic Church?
He is still a member of the Catholic Church. To my knowledge, he has not been excommunicated, nor has he been laicized. You know, at the end of the day, in two years or whenever he walks out of those prison doors, he will still have his ordination. He will still be able to receive the sacraments in the Catholic Church, while the father of the victim will have lost his ordination and will be prohibited by decree from participating in the sacraments of the Catholic Church. You know, canon law is what the law that the church follows protects the predators, and it does not protect the victims or those that speak out against the actions of the church. My sin is leaving the church, and that is a graver sin in the eyes of the Diocese of Lafayette than molesting or raping a child.
You mentioned that you converted to Catholicism. Do you feel any? I just got to tell you, as my heart goes out to you, Scott, for as a family and as a dad, and I just wonder if a little bit of you feels as though, and I admire you for still being a Christian, for not feeling as though, well, wait a minute, you know, if I wouldn't have become a Catholic, maybe this wouldn't have happened. Has that thought ever crossed your mind?
You know, as a father, Tommy, a thousand thoughts have crossed my mind. And yes, that has. I chose it. I wasn't born into it. I chose it. And I prayed about becoming a deacon. I felt that calling. While I don't feel that my calling to Christianity, to service, which is what the diaconate is supposed to be about, service to our fellow fellow Christians, I don't believe that what was disgenuine, that was a false calling. My beef is with how the church is being run, and how you know, how they protect the institution over Christ. They are certainly, if you go back to the Bible, it's very similar to the Pharisees, and the Bible's pretty clear that when Jesus came, he was not as upset with the sinners as he was with the people that were running the church of that day. And I feel we're about in that same situation. But yes, and also as a father, Tommy, it crosses my mind that, my duty is to protect my children. My duty was to make sure nothing bad happened to my children. And at 16 years old, even our younger children, we have six children. The youngest today is 14. The oldest is 28. We always told our children about, the potential of someone doing something to them. Mm-hmm. The thought that had never crossed my mind was someone, obviously, that we trusted, but that someone would get our child drunk and passed out and take advantage. In without being drunk, a 16-year-old boy could fight off the advances of a 72-year-old man.
Well, regardless, yes, he's a 16-year-old boy.
Yes, and that shouldn't.
I mentioned that because I want to get Scott to the part about dragging you and your family through the mud and the way the church, the diocese, handled this, the civil part of it. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, the civil part was the nasty part. In petition after petition that was filed, whether it was Father Guidry's attorney or whether it was the attorneys for the diocese, would shift blame to our family. They copied or trolled our Facebook and social media accounts, and
who did this?
And presented the diocese did presented that to the court, trying to get a change of venue, calling me an activist, saying that I was.
Hang on a second. I'm sorry, yes. Scott, but I got to jump in here. Your son is abused, molested by a priest who admits it. And the diocese is, first of all, I hope to God you would be an activist trying to use that against you.
Yes, they wanted a change of venue, saying that I had attained a possible jury pool with my activism, and simply being a father, simply trying to get it out to the community, because our community, Tommy, which is a whole different betrayal of trust. Our small community turned against our family for reporting the priest in. They shunned us. This priest had a go-away luncheon provided for him in the same very house that the abuse occurred.
After this came out?
After this came out, yes. While he was removed from ministry, after he had confessed, he went to get his belongings because he was out on bail up until the sentencing. He went to get his belongings
Wait a minute. He'd been convicted?
He confessed. He hadn't been
he
convicted.
Confessed, he confessed, so he's awaiting sentencing, and they had a goodbye luncheon for him?
They had a goodbye luncheon for him, yes. It has been one fiasco after another when this whole ordeal and the civil suit, as you asked, it was just one petition after another that would blame our family, would blame our son. Guidry blamed our son, saying our son came on to him. It was outlandish. It was just a horrific battle, and we finished that, and it took us years to come to terms that we needed to leave the church. For the same reasons I joined the church, to bring unity back to our family, and to be able to worship without the ugliness of the behind the scenes of church, and then to get this letter to kind of reopen the wounds. Now I went public with it with the permission of my son about the excommunication, but I think that the public and the laity and the people that give money to the church, they need to see how victims are treated. They need to see what happens to people that speak out against the church, so they can try to push for changes.
I get texts constantly, not constantly, Scott, but whenever I go into one of these stories from people that are, I guess the same kind of people that would have a goodbye luncheon for a pedophile because he's a priest, and And Lord knows, you know, he can't do anything wrong. Even though he admitted the behavior, he's still father this or that or the other thing. And they say, you still need to go to church, and I won't go to church because until these churches are empty and until the collection baskets dry up, that will get their attention. I think that's the only thing that will get their attention because it is a business. And I hate to say that. It hurts me to say that, having grown up Catholic, saying the rosary every day. It's a business, and until you hit them in a pocketbook or just stop going, nothing's going to change. I don't know. Gilbert Gottier was, what, 40 years ago? Oh, Ian Ozan told me that. 40 years ago, right?
At least. I think it was the late 70s, early 80s.
And you were excommunicated when?
I was excommunicated on March 16th.
Of this year?
Yeah.
So that's how much has changed since then.
Now, Guidry, what was the abuse happened to our son 8 years ago.
No, I understand that, but what I'm saying is, and that's why I wanted to acknowledge what Ian Ozan brought to me. The Gaudier thing goes back 40 years. So just when you think or you hope that the Catholic Church is making some kind of inroads into this thing or trying to do the right thing, we have the bankruptcy foolishness that's going on in the Archdiocese of New Orleans. And now this comes to light, and I'm going to tell you, Scott, you are nothing but credible to me. You are telling an incredible story because people are going to hear and say, wait, there's got to be something else. There's got to be, you're a law enforcement officer. At no point has your credibility been taken into account. At no point has the credibility of your son been taken into account by anybody but the Diocese of Lafayette. Trying to protect themselves. Law enforcement and no doubt doubted your credibility, did they?
No, not at all.
Or that of your son.
And then again, it was my son's account of what happened has been consistent from day one. And you know, the only credibility that his credibility has ever been questioned has been by the community members that supported Michael Guidry, and in the civil suit. But the criminal case, you know, Guidry pled guilty. Guidry was sentenced. Guidry had a parole hearing that was denied. Guidry has appealed to the local or district appellate courts, and he's appealed to the Louisiana Supreme Court for his sentence, which he thought was excessive, even though it was within the statutory guidelines for molestation of a juvenile. And he's lost every one of those appeals. It is a tough battle. We had four judges in St. Landry Parish. Three of those had to recuse themselves from the case. One because I had worked with a lot of them in law enforcement. But some were, one was the cousin of Bishop Michael Jarrell, the former bishop. There's so much dynamics to going prosecuting a priest in a local community because of the influence that our culture has. I mean, our whole state is so influenced by the Catholic, culture, from our parishes to our state flag to, our lawmakers. It is, our entire South Louisiana is so, entrenched in the Catholic faith, and it's such taboo to speak out against the church. We have friends, good friends, that would prefer us to be atheist than to go to another religion, that leaving the church.
Really?
The church has zero options. Either you put up with the foolishness, or you leave and you go to hell. There's no in between when it comes to the teachings of the church on the church being the one way to salvation.
Scott, as a former Catholic, I guess, I don't know what you'd call me, maybe an 86th Catholic, whatever. I want this to get fixed because it's just the right thing to do. And I think it's what Jesus would want done. I think it's what God would want done. I think it's the right thing to do. So I appreciate you and I commend you for coming forward. I am so sorry for what happened to your son. I will be praying for you and your family, not in church, but to God as I see him and recognize Jesus. And man, just God bless y'all. That's all I can say. Thank you. And I'm sorry all that happened.
I appreciate you. I appreciate you giving me time to share what's happened.
If anything else happens, you know how to get a hold of us. Let us know. All right.
I will. Thank you, Tommy.
Thank you, Scott. You bet. We'll take a break, come back, talk about the Governor's Surge and Water Board Task Force recommendations. 941 traffic now, WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.